Bringing hope to the hopeless, faith to the faithless, and love to the broken, everyone is welcome at the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Just come as you are. For the next 30 minutes, get ready to be ministered to and touched by an anointed man of God, Brother Charles Pierce.
I'm not so sure that I needed to take this. The presence of God is already here. Amen. But you know, in every service I feel, now I don't have a scripture for this, but I can rest assure you that probably in every service, there's always a demon that's lurking. That's why we can't be in one mind and one accord half the time. Because prior to service, probably husband and wife done had a ruckus, or maybe son and daddy had a ruckus, or maybe these three people called me, myself, and I had a ruckus. And so Satan stirred the pot before you came into the church house. And God says, I had a plan, and I've got a plan for this service. Now, the only way my plan can be fulfilled is if you participate. And if you surrender your mind, soul, and body unto me, that's what God says. That's the only way you can have a breakthrough. Can I get an amen? So this is a sermon that kind of piggybacks off of my last three sermons. It's going to just kind of close it all out. Is that okay? Before we go any further, some of you, I don't know if some of you are raised Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic, Presbyterian, Pentecostal. I don't know, and to be perfectly frank with you, I don't care. Why? I don't mean that bad. Why? Because we don't really care about religion here at this church. Amen? So with that being said, some of you may have been raised a Baptist, and depending on, I've got great Baptist friends. I've got great Baptist ministers. I love them to death. They're always asking me, why do y'all clap your hands so much in church? That's just who we are. We enjoy clapping our hands in church. Clap your hands unto God right now. Come on. Hallelujah. One of them asked me, why do y'all speak in tongues? I said, well, first of all, it's biblical. Second of all, when it hits you, you can't help but speak in tongues. Now, if you're out there and you've had a little bit of blah, 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 and you're trying to make yourself do it, just stop. Don't do it. When it hits you, it'll hit you. When it does, just get ready. Amen? I remember a story told one time of a young man that was preaching about, he was at a conference overseas in Israel somewhere, and he was preaching or teaching, to a bunch of scholars. And they were Hebrew and Greek scholars. And he's sitting there as a young man going to teach them about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. And he says, it's real. And this Hebrew, he said, I don't think it is. I think it's something that used to be, but it does not done anymore. We don't practice that anymore. It's not real. It don't happen. About that time, this man walked in the door, and the Hebrew scholar knew him. He knew this man really had nothing to do with church whatsoever. But he walked in the door to hear the teachings. And about the time the presence of God entered that room so strong. See, it doesn't matter whether you're Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Catholic. It doesn't matter. God doesn't discriminate, I promise. He don't care. When he's ready to enter into a room and he's welcome, he's going to enter into a room. And if we back off and say, I'm going to lay myself aside and let God take control, then it's amazing. That's when blind eyes, Trey, come open. That's when limbs that were short begin to grow. That's when people that had a heart that was messed up, a valve grew out of one and reattached itself, an artery to a heart. That's where cancer disappears. Because we backed off and said, I can't control this, God. I'm going to let you have your way. So this man walks in the door, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost came to that place, and this man began to speak in tongues. The Hebrew and the Greek scholars that were there was at amazed because they said, this man knows nothing about Hebrew, yet he is speaking Hebrew. That's what Holy Ghost does. Amen. Holy Ghost takes control when you've lost control and you don't know what else to do. The Holy Ghost steps in and he's your advocate. He takes control of everything in your life. That's not what I'm preaching on. But I just feel like you need to hear that. Turn to your neighbor and say, hold on. During practice, I didn't realize, but the last song, LaWanna, we sung is really appropriate for this message. Hold on. I got my big old black jug up here. I got a lot of water. I'm ready to rock and roll. Now, here's the thing. I think I'm talking to a group of people here that is, we've been messed up. We have been ran over. We have been tripped over. Ain't that right, brother? We ain't a perfect church. If we're a perfect church, I'm getting out. I'm not coming here. We've got a lot of people that have had a lot of heartache. A lot of stuff happened to you. Some of you sitting here today and you still don't understand. You're still battling with why. You're still battling with the understanding of how come. But God said at 3 o'clock this morning, hold on. Hold on. Hold on. It's the power of, everybody say the word endurance. Endurance. When letting go seems easier, God calls us to hold on. Clap your hands as you're being seated right now. Hallelujah. In the summer of 1987, on a short consumer flight from Portland, Maine to Boston, the unexpected happened in mid-flight. The pilot, Henry Dempsey, heard a strange noise in the rear of the aircraft. Thinking it was a mechanical or something might be mechanically wrong, he handed the controls over to the co-pilot. He went back to investigate. As Dempsey reached the tail section of the plane, it hit an air pocket. The turbulence threw him against the rear door. And in that moment, he found the problem. The rear door had not been latched properly before takeoff. It swung open, and Henry Dempsey was sucked out of the aircraft. The co-pilot immediately radioed in a distress call. He assumed Dempsey was gone, lost to the skies or the sea below. But when the plane landed, the ground crew was shocked to find Dempsey still alive, clinging to the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow, he... I know I'd be clinging to that ladder. Y'all seen a cat on a hot tin roof? I would grow toenails out of... My toenails would grow 10 inches, I promise you. I'd be clinging to that airplane. But somehow, he had caught the ladder and held on for 10 full minutes as the plane flew at 200 miles per hour at 4,000 feet. And when the plane landed, his head was just 12 inches from the runway. It took several crew members more than a few minutes to peel his hands off of that ladder. I guarantee it'd take them a few hours to peel me off of that. That, my friend, is what we call endurance. Because, Trey, I don't know about you, but if you were sucked out the rear end of a door of an aircraft and somehow, some way, you found a way to grab a hold of that ladder, I promise you, there would be 100 times you'd be sitting there thinking, I might as well just let go because there ain't no way I'm going to survive this. But something inside Henry Dempsey said, don't you let go. As long as there's a God, there is always hope. Can I get an amen? It's the ability to hold on when it would be easier to let go. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Some people have charm. Some people have intelligence. Some people have talents. Others have strength. But endurance, A lot of us don't possess that. That's why some of you here today are going through the same thing over and over again. That's why some of us are walking around the same bush over and over again. That's why we're preaching the same message over and over again, because it is something that mankind just doesn't have. It's easier to let go than it is to hold on. Because we look at our circumstances, we hear the doctor's report, we hear what they're saying on the news, and we get our spirit clouded with all this stuff, and so we say, I'm giving up. I can't make it in this society. I can't make it in this world. I can't make it what I'm going through. Endurance is the secret sauce behind lasting impact. It's the spiritual backbone. It's the inner resolve to not quit when everything you in you is screaming to let go. And with that, I want to talk about, there's places in the Bible that holds us to a high value. Romans 5, chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. It says, we also rejoice in our affliction, because we know that affliction produces endurance. Endurance produces proven character, and proven character produces hope. This hope does not disappoint. Go to Hebrew, 10th chapter, 36 verse. This reminds us, for you need endurance, so that after you have done God's will. Now wait, let's stop there just for a second. Why do we need endurance for? Because we're going through something. It's not pretty, Brother Michael. It's messed up. It's kind of dark. It's kind of lonesome sometimes. It's broken. Something's messed up. But yet, God is telling us to have endurance so that after you have done His will, just because you're going through something does not mean you're not in the will of God. And when you're going through something, you can mess up the will of God if you let go too quick. Amen? So after you've done God's will, you may receive what was promised. So how do we build that kind of endurance? How do we cultivate that hold on for dear life mentality and faith? Let's look at four practical ways to develop God's honoring endurance. Number one, accept the unchangeable. Some things in life just can't be changed. There are doors that swing open. There are some doors that close. Some doors open in mid-flight at 4,000 feet in the air, going 200 miles per hour. You never see that coming. And when they do, you've got a choice to make: complain, collapse, or endure. William Barclay once called endurance this. He says, the courage, the courageous acceptance of everything life can do to us, and the transforming of even the worst event into another step on the upward way. Think about the oyster. Women like pearls. They're purdy. They're so purdy. But it endures, an oyster endures a tiny grain of sand. It's called an irritant. And inside, and instead of rejecting it, it releases healing fluids. And over time, that wound becomes a pearl, a beautiful gem. Had there been no irritation, there would be no pearl. James 1, 2 through 4, I'm going to paraphrase. It says, when all kinds of trials crowd into your lives, don't resent them as intruders, but welcome them as friends. They have come to test your endurance until it is fully developed. Sean, why am I going through this? I have asked that question 100 times to me, myself, and I. Us three had a conversation about it, a very long one. Why am I going through this? Why am I battling this? Satan wants us to question everything. Why am I going through this? And I hated to hear a message when I was going through something. I didn't want to hear the cliché messages. I didn't want to hear the cliché scriptures. Matter of fact, there was a point in my life I would get aggravated if I heard it, because I thought, oh, here we go. Yeah, I know. Faith without works is dead. I know it. Faith without works is dead. I got so sick of it. But what I was missing was the fact that God said, no, you're missing the whole concept here, son. I've got a plan for your life. From the day that you came out of your mother's womb, I have a plan for you. There's something inside of you that I want to extract. And if you don't go through this irritation that you're going through right now, you'll never become that pearl that I've got planned for you. And so the reason why some people don't reach their pearl level is because they give up. They get mad at a family member. They get mad at a pastor. They get mad at themselves. They get mad at their spouse or their children, or they get jealous or upset or whatever the case may be. But whatever it is, they give up and they stop holding on. And everything that God's promised to them is gone. Here's the truth. You may not get to choose the pain, but you get to choose the purpose of that pain. Amen? Number two, adjust to the obstacles. Adjust to the obstacles. I know I hate this black mug up here, but you know what? Welcome online, by the way. We don't ever say that. Hopefully it'll rise above 12 before long. But a young Navy pilot, a naval captain, was steering his battleship in the dark seas one night when he saw a light straight ahead of him. And he radioed, "Sir, alter your course 10 degrees, please." A reply came back, "No, sir, I can't do that. You alter your course 10 degrees. The frustrated young captain said, "Sir, I am a battleship. It's in your best interest to alter your course by 10 degrees. The guy came back, he said, "Sir, I'm a lighthouse. Alter your course by 10 degrees. Some things in life are immovable. Some obstacles are there not to stop you, but to redirect you. Endurance doesn't mean you ram through everything. It means you have the humility and the ability to pivot when necessary. You don't have to take up every fight that's presented to you. Sometimes you just need to pivot. Amen? We'll clap. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. It says, a sensible person sees danger and takes cover. I was in the pool the other day. I heard thunder. I looked up because I was on my belly like a big old hippopotamus out there. I looked up. I said, well, the skies are clear. I don't see no lightning. And so I think I'm going to enjoy this pool a little bit longer. Well, the thunder got a little bit louder. Next thing I know, I looked out of the corner of my peripheral and I saw lightning. Well, common sense tells you when you see lightning, what do? You get out. I think I was sensible that day. I got out. Come to find out, that little lightning storm that passed through, it was kind of pretty much in, it had passed through some states, and I think it had taken out like 12 people. One in Mississippi, one in Alabama, one in Georgia, or whatever, anyway. But a sensible person sees danger and takes cover. But the inexperienced keep going and are punished. You keep with your attitude. Keep with your hard-headedness. Keep with this poor me. I'm going through this. You're going to be punished for it. So what do you mean? You're not going to get to the promise God has for you because you keep letting go. Embrace what God has put before you. Whatever trial you're going through right now, embrace it. Row with it. Amen? I'm trying to get through this. Last time I preached, about five of you fell asleep on me. I'm going to hurry through this. I'm just playing. Endurance sometimes looks like wisdom, not brute force. As Thomas Carlyle said, the block of granite that was an obstacle in the pathway of the weak becomes a stepping stone in the pathway of the strong. Are there things in your life that you're trying to bulldoze that God may actually be using to build you? Amen? Don't just try to escape your hardships. Adjust to them and grow through them. I hate to be referring back to my situation as what I thought would be a no way that I'd become a dad. Because never in my lifetime, Brother Martin, never in my lifetime did I ever think that I would not be able to be a dad. And so when they gave me, and I keep referring to it because this was the most devastating news that I had ever encountered in my life. And here is the nutshell of what happens to every one of us. I was given a bad report. Now, I didn't go out that door of that doctor's office saying, "Woo, hallelujah. Man, I can't be a daddy. That's pretty awesome, man." No, I did not. I went back to my room. I cried like a little baby. I don't know. I might have threw something. I don't know. Chunked something. I got mad, got angry, got upset. I went through all these emotions. I did not go to God in prayer with it. I was angry. I was mad. I was upset. Here I was given this challenge. And God says, "Now, what are you going to do with it? You can't determine you can't choose the pain, Sean, but you can choose the purpose." And here I was faced with this challenge. Now, what am I going to do with this? How am I going to deal with what I am facing right now? I've got it in my hands. Am I going to let it dictate my future to the point that it kills me? Or am I going to let it grow and help to grow me and help to build me to the man of God that I need to become? Because one of two things are going to happen with that. Either it's going to weaken you or it's going to strengthen you. There is no in between. I'm looking at Sister Marianne here today. Sister Marianne's got two broken legs, a broken back, and no telling what else happened to her just because she wanted to do an x-ray. She's probably sat in that hospital bed at her bedroom by herself for hours asking God why, probably. But I'm telling you, you can tell in her spirit today that she has a spirit of endurance. Sister Marianne, thank you for your example. Brother Danny, thank you for your example. She could have chose to stay home and said, "Nope, I can't go today. I've got these two broken legs that I didn't ask for, and I'm just angry and mad and upset. Honey, I'm just so sad." No, she chose to come to the house of God finally when she was able to come. And she came with worship and praise on her lips. She just didn't sit there with a pearl, a poor, pitiful pearl syndrome. She began to worship God. And God is going to honor her spirit. Amen. So don't try to escape your hardships. Adjust to them. Grow through them. Number three, abide with patience. Oh my God, here we go. That P word. I am not praying for it. I can promise you that. Someone once said, "You can carry water in a sieve." You know what a sieve is? Okay. If you wait until it freezes. Well, the problem is most of us don't want to wait till it freezes. We ain't got no patience. Right? We want instant relief. We want instant change. We want instant gratification. But endurance is slow cooked. I want you to know something. As a Texan, you take a brisket and put it on a grill. Doesn't that make your mouth water? Salt and pepper all over that brisket. You've trimmed the fat off of it. You put it on that mesquite grill. and you let it smoke. Now, you try to smoke that at 475 degrees for 2 hours, and you're going to have a tough piece of meat when it comes out. A brisket is a big old thick piece of meat you ain't going to get. And when you might think you get satisfaction out of it, you ain't going to get no satisfaction out of that. I can assure you. But it's slow cooked. It's baked in the furnace of time and trial. James chapter 5, verse 7 through 8, it says, be patient. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. The word patient in the Greek literally means long anger. Or in modern terms, long-tempered. It's the opposite of being short-tempered. It means choosing not to explode when things don't go your way. LaWanna, it ain't me. You're looking at imperfection. When things don't go my way, give me a bottle because I get upset. This is my trial. This is something that God's been working on me. As Trey said earlier, I know my faults, and I don't like my faults. But, brother, I'm working on me. At least I'm getting the socket set, and I'm turning wrenches. I'm getting saws, and I'm cutting some things out of my heart and off of my spirit, getting rid of it. Just because we stand up here, because we sing up here, does not mean we got it all together and we're perfect. Amen? But Joyce Landorf once said, God's waiting room is the most difficult aspect of the Christian experience. And man, she could not have said the most truer thing. Because it's the waiting room. It's where we are molded and made and things happen. That's where God begins to extract. So I believe everybody in this building right here, from the time that you were conceived, I believe that there was a gift placed in every one of us. God has something special for each one of you here today. A purpose. A pearl that's inside of you. And whatever trials you have faced, I promise you with God, He can bring you through them if you don't let go. It's funny, Sister Hollis, when people begin to go through trials and tribulations and they can come up with every excuse why they don't come to church. But you ask that same person to go out to a 5-star restaurant paid for, they're going to find everything in their power to go. They won't come up with no excuse for that one. But why is it they come up with an excuse of why they don't come to church? The very place that can help them through whatever trial they're facing. I'm going to say something that's going to step on everybody's toes here. Well, not everybody's. But it is amazing that the Bible, word for word, says to try me and see that I don't open up the windows of heaven upon you and pour you out blessings that you cannot contain. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, while I have men heap into your bosom. Yet, we can all stand on our feet. Ooh, amen, Brother Sean. Well, let's give our tithes and offering. I can't afford that. Can't afford to pay my tithes, Brother Sean. I ain't got no money. I ain't got time to pay. Well, then you don't believe what you said. Your shouting was not for real then. You don't believe it. My mom and my dad taught me this one thing when it comes to tithes and offering. You're letting the devil steer you the wrong way when you look at tithes and offering. Brother Sean, this ain't got no, just yes, it does. Hold on. Whenever we start to do tithes and offering, no matter where you go, the first thing you think of probably is, can I trust that pastor? He's probably taking that. He's probably one of those money preachers since he's asking for money. Stop listening to the devil. He is trying to take what blessing God has for you away from you because he's trying to keep you from giving. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. God said something that's so simple. You earn money, you get money. You pay 10% on that. You give offering. Your tithes is not your offering. Brother Sean, where are you going? Just hold on. The very thing that God wants to bless you with, the Satan's trying to keep you from doing it. Whenever you're going through something, don't let Satan tell you to stop coming to church. Come to church. Be around people that's going through stuff too. Get encouraged in the Lord here at church. Take it back with you to your house. Get it inside your home.
You have been listening to Pastor Charles Pierce of the Revival Center, located at 1609 Tommy Webb Drive, Meridian, Mississippi. Pastor Pierce and the Revival Center would like to invite you to attend service Sundays at 2 p.m., Tuesday prayer at 10 a.m., and Wednesday night at 7 p.m., or contact us at 601-693-9879, or go to www.kingdompeace.org.